Hello and welcome back to How We Roll. And once again, we are playing the Two-Headed Serpent. Last session, our heroes found themselves back in New York after a tough mission in Oklahoma and spent a bit of time trying to reconnect with their lives back there. We had Bart and Jane, who went off clubbing up in Harlem and had a grand old time up there. We had Ethan, who went off and did some bare-knuckle boxing in the Docklands on the west side of Manhattan and made some new friends who were very, very interested in his abilities, particularly when he bit and killed one of the other boxers there.
Yeah, learned that one from Mike Tyson. Didn't exist yet, but it's all good.
Chell spent some time at the High Five Club, where he had a delivery from his good old friend Filamone Casale, but pretty much ignored it and carried on trying to get some work done, creating a detective device. And Spencer had gone back to his agency and had met up with one of his investigators there, Jack Malone, who, well, seemed not to be himself. Came into the office, said something weird that sounded like it was in Nicole, and then fled out. And when Spencer tried to understand what it was and repeated it a few times, he ended up giving his secretary a seizure. So it is now, let us say, the following day. We've got one day before Ethan and Charles are due in the Caduceus offices for their checkup. Is anyone doing anything in particular?
I think you said it's going to take 5 days for Charles to make this snake detecting device.
Yes.
So he's going to be up all night working on this.
Yeah, okay.
Have you rang me and called me over to be like, I want to test it?
Yeah, because I need a subject to test it. Yeah, so I think he mentioned Spencer, because originally it was gonna be a black goo detector, so it was gonna I need Spencer, but I think we're sticking with snakes for now. Snakes, why does it always have to be snakes? Lizards, actually.
Okay, so Ethan makes his way over to the High Five Club, and how are you getting there? Are you taking the subway out? Are you driving?
I have no idea, probably sneakily.
High trench coat, collar up.
Yeah.
Newspaper with eye holes while you walk.
Yeah.
The same deal. Failed disguise roll.
But were you driving out there? Were you taking public transport? What were you doing?
Public transport.
Okay. So, yeah, as you take the subway out, you do... Maybe you're being paranoid. Maybe it's just because you're obviously trying pretty unsuccessfully to disguise yourself anyway and attracting a bit of attention. But you're fairly certain, as you've changed trains a couple of times, that there's one guy who's been in the carriage each time, down the other end of the carriage, just sort of half watching you.
Oh. Can I try and get the jump on him to confront him?
Yeah. So what are you doing? Are you just walking right up to him in the carriage?
I'm going to get out of one carriage and get into the other, but I'll wait around the entrance, and then right as he walks past, I leave and go to the other. And I'm behind him now because he's going to like to get to the carriage, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, then give me a stealth roll just to see whether you can get the jump on him.
Okay, I've rolled a natural 100, so that did not work.
Jump out the window by mistake.
Yeah. You fall on the tracks. Anybody for some fried lizard? No.
No, I think on a 100, you just lose him completely. You're fairly convinced at this stage that you were mistaken about being followed.
Oh, okay. Must be in my head. Caduceus has got me all paranoid.
Yeah, and I mean, being paranoid is probably what explains why you feel like when you arrive at the High Five that there's... Yeah, it is probably just because you're paranoid, but there's a car that's parked outside as well. It's got a couple of rough-looking guys who just seem to be waiting there outside the club. They don't seem to be doing anything, and they don't make any move to either drive off or or go anywhere mm-hmm. or get out of the car as you're arriving at the club.
Yeah. All right. Just stroll in.
Yeah, you stroll in. Murph, you know, looks up from the bar where he's cleaning a glass, as he always seems to be doing, and looks at you, and yeah, doesn't quite do his nonchalant looking back at what he's doing. He sort of gives you a second look and says, you're in the right place, bud.
Yeah, I think so. I'm here to see my friends.
And who do your friends be?
I think it's Bart and Spencer and Jane and Charles should be here.
And Charles is here. You wait there, he says. And, you know, Charles, I think at this stage, if he's been up all night, I mean, you hear a knock on your workshop door, and at this stage you're half asleep, and I think with everything you've been through, you know, sort of your immediate reaction as you hear this loud knocking on the door is, you know, gunfire or something like that.
I think Charles is going to shout, "Hey, Murph, I told you not to bother me till midnight. For God's sake, I'm trying to get this thing ready."
He says, "Funny looking guy here to see you. You want me to throw him out?"
Tall guy or kind of skinny English guy?
Dunno, he says, and you hear him clump off.
You just hear lizard guy. Through the door.
"Hey, Ethan, I'm not quite done yet. Hey, but just come in, grab it. Just try sitting here. Maybe it'll work." And Charles sort of brings forward this like horrendous device with sort of spinning blades. Goes, "This is the first prototype. Try not to move too much. I think I'm going to have to narrow it down as it looks smaller." But as it kind of spins and whirs around you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Let's have let's put this down to an electrical repair roll just to see how well you've wired it all up.
Don't do another 100. Not with blades to my face.
49 versus my electrical repair. I'm sure it's a lot higher than 49. 67, so success.
Okay. Then, yeah, that seems to be working. So the machine powers up and it shudders. And, yeah, the lights that you got attached to it start flashing brightly, and the, you know, you're not quite sure. You must have been really tired when you did this, but there's a klaxon or something going off, and yeah, basically all the warnings are just going wah, wah, wah.
Hey, either it works or I think it works. We need to try it on someone who's not a lizard person.
Well, wouldn't it work on you as well?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure if that's a scab I want to pick just yet.
All right, fair enough.
Hey, Murph! How do you want to earn a dollar? You got a dollar, right, Ethan?
No, I don't have a dollar.
Hey, Murph! Hey, you want to earn a dollar? Bart's going to be here soon, isn't he?
Murph comes in scowling. Looks around at the chaos in the workshop from all the work you've been doing overnight, and just says, "You don't pay me enough for this place."
Well, yeah, that's probably fair, but maybe just sit down here. I've got something to test. It could make a lot of money. This is going to be a breakthrough. Just sit yourself down. Duck under that blade there. That's not going to be in the final one. That was just an idea that I was playing around with. My thought was, Ethan, we could use this, and if it detects them, it stabs them. Not you, obviously, but maybe we'll cut that one out.
Sit down here. So it was going to stab
me? No, look, the red button there, that's the stabbing bit's disabled.
All right.
You're still here, aren't you? Anyway, Murph, sit yourself down.
Murph sits down, not apparently liking any of this talk of stabbing.
I'm sitting in a chair next to him, looking at him, profile side on, very carefully. Let's see if the blade goes off.
And then Charles pulls out this huge kind of control set with various buttons on it, and one of them is sort of taped over so it can't be pressed. Presses the on button, which isn't that one.
Okay, now I think because he got an ordinary success as opposed to a hard one, I mean, this, you know, and this is a prototype that you've bound together in 24 hours. Mm. Yeah.
It's a much bigger version than the final one.
It's also, I think, a lot less finely calibrated because, yeah, you're pointing it at Merv and it's still going, pop, pop, pop.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, but which type are not good?
Either Merv is one of them, or your machine is picking up me still.
Ooh. Because I was going to say it's a piece of shit and about to throw the damn thing away. Right. Ethan, go and stand over there because you're too near to it. You're too near to it.
Yeah, but you can't be anywhere near it either.
That's why I've got this long wire.
So I go over to Charles and I grab the remote and I give it to Murph. All right, Murph, we're going to walk out of the room, and when we do, press this button. Not this one, but this one. Yeah, definitely not this one.
You don't press the knife button.
No, definitely not. All right. We're going to leave the room, and then if it beeps, then we've got a problem. All right. And then we walk out the room.
Murph is looking very glumly at this remote. He does not look even remotely happy about this.
Can Ethan and Charles be outside saying, did he press it yet, or is it working? Because either way, I don't hear klaxons.
I don't know.
Yeah. A few moments later, you know,
Murph, you can press it now.
And Murph walks out of the room and says, can I go back to work now?
Hey, did you press it?
I pressed it, he says, and walks off.
Did the light come on?
He shrugs.
Hey, did the light go on?
He goes back to cleaning his glasses.
Well, I didn't hear anything, so I guess it works. We just can't be close when we use it, so it's useless for us. But it could be useful for Jane or Bart or Spencer.
Well, you have to be sat in the chair to use it, so unless they want to carry it around, ask people to sit in the chair and press the button.
Actually, script that in its current size is useless, but very, very, this is great work, though. Excellent. It's good progress.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it seems to have worked. You know, my evening's jollies have paid off. Anyway, should we have some breakfast? I thought it was still last night.
Sounds like a good idea. Hey, Murph, what do you got for breakfast?
He looks up at you and grunts. And then wanders off to the kitchen.
I smile at him and my fangs pop out. It's like,
Meanwhile, after their night on the town, what are Jane and Bart doing?
The only sunglasses I have in reach are these ones I used to wear when I was a kid, but... Oh, my head.
You just see Bart sort of with a tray laid out in front of him with three, let's call it tomato juices.
Yeah.
Taking the celery out and just down one. Oh, down two. And now the third one for sipping.
Has Bart Dear ended God. Up back at the enclave after nightcaps last night, should we say?
I'm just glad I didn't end up in a... Well, I wouldn't say I've ended up in a gutter a few years, but there have been some flats almost as bad.
Just don't tell Mother that I brought a boy home. And like everyone around the table. I imagine we're kind of like at the table in one of the dining areas or something, and everyone just kind of chuckles a little bit.
Those who've got the energy to do so, which is many.
Yeah.
I won't tell if you won't.
Who aren't just like, yeah, because it's all over the house, Mother. She's not arisen yet. So.
No. Probably won't for many hours after last night. You didn't know that she could dance like that. She didn't know that she could dance like that.
She's still got it. Amazing.
That got something off my chest. But
Yes. Oh. I feel rather more I've been wholly skinned alive at this point, but... Oh, God. Pass me another Bloody Mary, would you? I just kind of press it against my forehead because it's mildly cool.
So what are your plans for the day? Get over your hangover.
Well, that's what the Bloody Marys are for, darling.
So, We've got until tomorrow for Ethan and Charles's big checkup. What do we want to do in the meantime?
I do feel like I must check up on poor Spencer. I understand he said he needed some time to work things over, but yes, I do think it would be good of me to check up on him. We've been through a lot together over the years.
After that whole black goo,
yes,
extravaganza.
Even considering our history, that was particularly unpleasant.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know about me. I mean, Spencer seems a pretty solemn sort. Maybe I'd be a bit off-putting. I don't know.
Oh, he's just a big softy on the inside, really. I was rather hoping you might be able to tap into some of your connections as a journalist. I mean, I understand none of the reality of what we see is will get you anything other than laughed out, but
yes,
money talks, and perhaps if you could investigate the financials of Caduceus, it would tell us a little bit more, at least give us some background of who's backing them. I mean, it's obviously a very large organization.
It certainly would be interesting to see who's at the root of this, really. Intriguing.
Couldn't hurt anyway.
Yeah, and Jane starts kind of thinking of like contacts that she has back in the New York area and how she'd kind of go about that. And I just say, well, I suppose the strange but true article series I've been writing can wait. Got to find somewhere to put a story.
Yes. If you'd like, of course I could pay you for your time, so the financial burdens of things wouldn't weigh on you while you're enjoying our extracurricular activities.
Well, that would certainly sweeten the deal for me, but, you know, more than anything, I'd just like to get the information. Let's see what I can come up with.
Yes.
Okay. Shall we then cut to Bart going to visit Spencer? And then we'll double back to Jane in a moment.
I think I'd call his office to see if he was there first.
So following the events of the previous day, I mean, I guess Spencer's having to answer his own telephone today because his secretary is in hospital.
Hello? Pass me through to Spencer, please. This is Bartholomew Ormond.
Hello, Spencer Incorporated. How can I help?
Well, I guess you've passed me through to yourself. Where's your secretary?
Oh, Bart, hey. Yeah, strange story, that one. Didn't feel very well, couldn't come in today, sort of deal. So I'm taking over the phones for today until I can get someone to cover.
Well, I was just hoping to stop by and have a bit of a chatette.
Absolutely. I'd like to pick your brain over something I have here, actually.
Oh, really?
Absolutely, and I thought your mind was probably one of the best ones to pick over about it.
Well, I do feel flattered, but do you want to give me a little hint before I get in the car?
How's your language skills these days?
Comme ci, comme ça.
Do you remember much of Nicole?
Ah. Not had a great deal of time to really master it, shall we say.
Me neither. It's a bit rusty. I'd like to brush up a few things with you, if I may.
Okay. I suppose I'll head over.
Come knock on my office door. I'll tell them downstairs that I'm expecting you.
Presumably this is something in which we don't want to bring Caduceus in. Of course, they have the language skills, but...
I'd rather not for now until I know what's going on.
Understood. Very well, I'll get in the car and head over.
Excellent. See you within the hour.
Okay, and yeah, let's cut then to Bart arriving at Spencer's office. So it's probably mid to late morning at this stage. And, things are a bit subdued in the office. Certainly people seem to be a bit shocked after what happened yesterday.
So is there a bit of a hubbub as I go in?
But it's more that things are quieter than usual. I mean, people seem to be sort of staring off into space, or, you know, there's a few quiet conversations going on, but it's not the normal atmosphere that you know from the place.
Well, sort of knock on the door and just let myself in. Well?
Bart, come in. Pull up a chair.
I'm here. Is something going on? Sort of looking around.
It's the damnedest thing, Bart, old buddy. I just had a very interesting interview or meeting with one of my partners here this morning. Do you remember Jack Malone from the Boston office? I think you may have met him once or twice.
Yes, yes. I used him to get some dirt on that reporter got some photographs I wanted to disappear.
Right. Okay. So he came into my office this morning and repeated something that what I believe to be Nikal. And I can't decipher what he said, but as soon as he said it, he ran out of the building screaming. He just ran out of the building, got in his car and drove away quick as a flash.
He wasn't actually screaming. It was more like he was surprised by something, but yeah, he seemed more frightened than anything else.
Now, I was trying to look into what it was he said, and as I was doing so, I was repeating the phrase that he said to me over and over so I wouldn't forget it while I looked for it. Now, the new receptionist on the desk outside my office, she came in with some drinks and heard me talking about it, and just instantly started frothing at the mouth and had a fit, and I had to rush her to hospital.
Ah.
So I'm not going to sit here keep repeating it, but I do have it in my memory.
Yes. Tricky thing, Nikal. I don't know if you've been told, but that's, well, it's a part of how I ended up ahead of the party in Bingham. His sermons contained some sort of Nikalese summoning, and I'm afraid it was quite compulsive. Shall we say it brought out the nastier part in me when I had overcome it? Wasn't exactly pleased to
now,
manipulate it that way.
What I'd like to know is, how does Jack know it? And also, what does it mean?
Well, I'm afraid I can't help you with how Jack knows it, but you'd better write it down so that I can try and pass it. It doesn't sound like it's particularly safe to say.
I can write it down phonetically what it sounds like to hear, but we'll give this a go. And I take out my notepad and I jot down the words that I remember onto the page surface.
Okay. Then Bart could certainly attempt a Cthulhu Mythos roll here then to see whether...
Not a Nikal. Actually, Nikal's the same. Nikal and my Cthulhu Mythos are the same.
You'd learn different things depending on whether you did Nikal or Cthulhu Mythos.
I think I'm going to attempt the Nikal first.
Because critical failure with Cthulhu Mythos is very different than critical failure with Nikal, right?
Neither is particularly likely to succeed, so...
But my Nikal is ahead of my Cthulhu Mythos. I'm doing something right or wrong.
My Nikal is terrible. I keep staying too sane.
I have 23,
game, basically.
I think.
Shit. Well, I'm afraid I can't pass it here in now, but leave me alone with it for a little while. And I sort of... I fully intend to do other sorts of things with it later on, but...
Sure.
For the time being, I just fold up the paper and put it in my pocket. At the moment, it's just gibberish to me, but perhaps when I have my resources back at the club, I'll have another investigation. But for the time being, well, we know certain persons I've tried to, well, succeeded in, shall we say, interfering with your persons. Perhaps they had other mechanisms in place to influence you.
I have no idea, but I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but the last thing Malone was talking to you about before he did that was he was asking you whether there were any developments on the Rose Meadham case.
Now that I think about it, he originally started talking to me about the Rose Meadham case that I had going on, and I asked him to drop it. And he turned around to me and said he couldn't do that. And when I said that, no, we got to drop it for now, we've got to do other things, that's when he kind of busted out that phrase and ran out the door. I've never seen him like that in all the years I've known him.
Interesting. Have you made an attempt to contact him since?
He's probably back on his way to Boston, so it's going to be an hour or two before he gets down there.
Right. Well, I guess we have the option of tracing after him. Perhaps, do you know where he's, what he's been up to subsequently, perhaps?
No, he's...
Previously. I'm sorry, I'm very hungover.
It's okay, I forgive you, Bill. I've not had the best day either so far, but I think that maybe a quick trip to Boston this afternoon might be in order to go see him.
Well, it's only a quick...
Just down the road.
Train journey.
Yeah, a few hours.
I suppose we could, yes. Unless you have any better ideas. Perhaps I should just phone Charles and see what he's up to. Just to let him know where we are and tell him I don't have any cucumber sandwiches with me.
Do you want to call him or do you want to go see him?
Oh, why don't I send him a singing telegram? I'm sure that would brighten his day. Yes. I think I will.
Oh, God.
and I ring up a telegram service and send him a singing telegram with some sort of... I write a snarky little ditty telling him we're going to Boston, and end it with, "There's no cucumber sandwiches!" And I send that to the bar where he's working.
Okay.
That'll get him back.
Yeah, I think then, you know, if we think of this in cinematic terms, the camera then cuts over to this guy in a telegram operator's uniform, you know, there with a little pillbox hat, standing there, arms out, singing about cucumber sandwiches, while Ethan and Charles are sitting there having their lunch, and Murph is standing behind the bar watching in silence. Disgust.
And this is like a properly rough,
yeah,
like mechanics bar. And I imagine like we just like the steak sandwich half held to our mouths, just watching it, mouth still open. And then when he finishes, just look at Ethan and then look at him and go, "Hey, Bart paid you this? To do this thing you've just done?"
He says, "Yeah, you want me to sing it again, buddy?"
"Yeah, yeah, but can you just come in the back room and sit on this chair for a second? We've got something we need you to test."
"I'm sure it'll work this time."
"Don't press the red button." Close the door. He's going to press the red button, isn't he? God damn it.
You just hear the...
No, you've told him not to press the red button. He will not press the red button. So he comes out a moment later and says, "Yeah, okay, buddy. You got a tip for me?"
"Hang on. When you pressed the green button, what happened?"
"It went click."
"Anything else?"
"No."
"No?
I think it might be working."
I don't think it's working at all. There's a big light that's meant to come on, like a green light. Oh, just get out of here, you singing weirdo.
And he scurries out looking glum.
God damn it. Unless the machine's working and the bulb's broken, like that could be a thing. Let's start with the bulb. You know how to work a spanner?
Okay, well, let's cut back to Jane then. So what is Jane's plan for doing this investigation? She's trying to get in touch with what old contacts from her days in journalism.
Yeah, I think I had a little looky at New York newspapers that were running in the 1920s. And I think she wants to get in touch with her old contact, who's like a financial editor at the New York Tribune. I even came up with a name for him, Bobby Jones.
Okay, Bobby Jones of the New York Tribune. He's probably, you know, in his early 60s at this stage, and fairly sort of gruff looking guy.
He's a bit of a mentor to me.
Yeah, he's sort of the crusty but lovable newspaper man archetype. He spends his days sitting there chewing on big cigars and, you know, barking orders at people. But yeah, he sort of gives you a warm smile as he sees you come in. Yeah, Jane, where have you been? I haven't seen you in must be years.
Bobby, it's certainly been a while. I sort of like clap his hand into a big handshake.
So, you're setting the world on fire?
Well, maybe in ways I wasn't anticipating, Bobby, I'll be honest. But actually, I came to you with a bit of a question, actually. An inquiry of sorts. I've been investigating an organisation recently. I don't know if you've heard of any of their work. They're sort of a medical organisation called Caduceus. Ring any bells? Caduceus.
Oh, that's Joshua Meadham's venture, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Meadham. We never saw that one coming, did we? Of all the people to term philanthropist, Joshua Meadham. That was a real change.
He's hoping maybe some leopards can change their spots. But,
yeah.
I was more interested in the financial side of things for Caduceus than I thought, given your trade. You might have a little bit of information stocked away somewhere.
Well, I mean, the bits I remember, it was years ago. I mean, what, we're going back 10, 15 years at least, maybe longer. Was it before or after the Great War? But yeah, anyway, we're going back to, I think, maybe just before the Great War. But Meadham, this is before your time, isn't it? I mean, Meadham, yeah, he ran this pharmaceutical empire. He, you know, drugs, medical appliances, I think he even owned a few hospitals. His people did some research into making new drugs and so on, but yeah, mostly for him it was business. And then, he has this big change of heart, sort of sells the business and pumps all that money into, you know, creating this big medical aid charity. They hold fundraisers like any other charity does, and but I think most of the money that went into that was his.
Well, maybe he's found a higher calling, you know? Sometimes it happens, we get a conscience.
That's all very good and all, but consciences, they just ain't no good for business.
Yeah, and he still seems to be doing pretty well for himself.
Well, you say that. I mean, I don't think, Caduceus, what, is a charity. It doesn't make money. I mean, sure, I mean, he's still got that that building. What is it? The Meadham building. But But I don't know. I think they sold off most of the assets. And certainly, you know, it's not traded anymore. I mean, you know, no one else is making any money out of it.
So it's just got to be donors then, really, I suppose, even with Freedom's business background. Do you know anything about who seems pretty keen on donating to them?
No, I mean, that's not really kind of my beat these days. That's more human interest. I mean, I can ask some stories and see whether, you know, I can find out who any of the big donors are.
Be interesting. I think I've got something big brewing for Caduceus. It's early days, but that would be very helpful.
Well, do tell. I mean, if there's scandal there, I mean, yeah, meet him. Yeah, he hasn't been in the business world for a long time, but he certainly pissed off enough people when he was there that if there's a juicy story, you know, there's a lot of people who wouldn't mind seeing him taken down.
Yeah, I'm still on fact gathering at the moment. I think I need to keep my cards pretty close to my chest. There's some interesting parties involved, let's just put it that way. But any information would be gratefully received, and I'm sure we can work something out.
Understood. Yeah, you leave that one with me, Jane. Shall I give you a call when there's news?
Definitely. And I like write down my number for the Enclave.
Okay, yeah.
And just like pass it him, like, yeah, get in touch. That'd be grand.
Okay, well, don't leave it so long next time, he says.
I certainly won't. Let's do lunch.
Okay. Then, I'm getting the impression then that Charles and Ethan are pretty much just getting stuck into trying to get this device working. Is that it? Are you doing anything else, or is that just your full-time thing until you're due at the Caduceus offices the following day?
I think that's the only thing we're trying to do, is every time someone comes into the bar, we're like, hey, do you want to sit in this chair, mate? And press this button.
Don't press the red one.
Someone's colorblind. Oh, no.
I'm beginning to think, Ethan, maybe the final device doesn't have a big knife button on it.
But that kind of defeats the purpose. You said it, like, if it goes off, then we...
I know, but maybe as a detector, it should just stick to detecting, and then we have something else to do killing.
It's probably a wise decision. I'm not as savvy with the old gadgetry like you are.
Well, but, I'm just saying, not everyone has the smarts of you and me. You and I and you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we might hand it out to, you know, one of the others, and they'll press the red button and, you know, stab someone or stab themselves, and yeah.
Is Ethan at any stage during the time they're together going to mention anything about what happened last night, or is he not sharing any of that with Charles?
Not presently, unless it shows up. Like, and if they show up, then I'm probably going to be like, oh yeah, I was in a fight club.
but otherwise you're keeping
it to yourself. There's no need to distract from the current happening.
Okay.
I think the goal is to get the prototype working and then spend the rest of the time shrinking it down so it's actually useful.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you think you've got the basic technology cracked, but yeah, I mean, at the moment it requires a mains power source and it's about, you know, the size of a shopping cart. But yeah, given the rest of the week, you reckon you might be able to get it down to something portable. I take it from that you're every now and then just wandering out into the bar and looking for people to drag in. I'll tell you what, Ethan could give me a spot hidden roll.
Ooh, all right. That is a 6 against 81.
Okay, so this is after you've been at the bar.
I can
bar
see into the future. No.
This is after you've been at the bar for several hours and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's evening at this stage. So from the window, Ethan sees that car that you saw earlier with the gangsters in it, or the people you assume are gangsters, is still parked outside, or is parked outside now. And, yeah, the two of them are waiting there in the shadows, just apparently keeping an eye on the club.
Okay, Charles, I think we have company.
Who are they? It's not Casali's folk, in it. Is it?
I think it might be.
Give me an intelligence roll just to see whether you can remember.
Me or Ethan or both?
Yeah, no, the Charles.
Okay. I get a 58 versus 40. That's a fail.
Okay, no, I mean, it's a bit dark. I mean, you might have seen these guys before, but, you know, big men in suits look like big men in suits to you.
Hey, I don't know who that is, but whatever we do, let's not do anything rash, like, you know, stick dynamite in their tailpipe or something.
Oh, that would be far too dramatic as for anything we might do. I think we should try and get back to Caduceus. If possible.
No. Let's see what they want. I mean, if they're here for us, and to be fair, like, you know, they probably are. Should we find out what they want?
I suppose we could. All right. And I'm going to walk out the door and approach the car slowly.
Okay. So Ethan walks carefully out towards the car. And you can see
my hands. I'm not. Yeah.
But before we do, do we want to take it easy? Like maybe one of us push from behind in case things get nasty.
No, I think we're only going to be inviting trouble if we start trying to startle them or something. I think we just approach them and well, maybe better if you approach them actually, because I mean, look at me. Anyway, the skin is not for everyone, you know.
Fair enough. Right, you stay here. You cover me. I'll go see what they want.
Okay. So Charles walks out to the car, and as you get there, the two men who were sitting there, they were slumped down in their seats a bit. They looked a bit bored. But as they see you walking towards the car, obviously they've started paying a bit more attention. They're sitting up straighter. They haven't gone for weapons or anything, but on the other hand, you can't really see their hands.
Hey there, folks. You looking for me?
You Blackstone? Yeah, the other guy, you know, the guy who's not behind the wheel, just shakes his head and says, "Of course it's fucking Blackstone. You've seen the pictures." Yeah, and he kind of grumbles a bit.
Honestly, I was kind of expecting. You're working for Casali, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to see you. He's sent you messages. Did he say he sent him flowers? Yeah, sent him flowers. He sent you flowers. Why did he send him flowers? Anyway, you're not returning his calls. You're not speaking to him. He's beginning to take it personally.
You don't call, you don't write.
That's exactly what the card he sent said.
I've been in Bingham. I've been in Oklahoma visiting. Well, it's a church thing. Anyway, I'm back now. And all right if I bring a buddy along?
Yeah, sure. You ride up front.
Is everything all right there, Charles?
Your buddy can ride in the back. Your buddy can ride in the back with Vince here.
Right. Hey, Ethan. Yeah, I think we're going to go on a little trip.
All right, no problem. Let me grab my things. I believe we had like a drink or some soup or something.
Something like that.
Sandwich, that's what it was.
Ethan had also arrived, I think, kind of done up a bit like the Invisible Man with kind of a scarf and hat and stuff like that. Are you doing the same as you go back outside?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm going to leave Greg in the back. I'm like, Greg, you going to stay back here? Trust me, he doesn't bite, guys, don't worry. I'm going to leave him near the snake machine. He should be okay for a little bit.
Murph doesn't look very happy about this. He grumbles and says,
"Murph, if he gets hungry, just give him some meat, yeah?
I'll get him a bone to chew on, just not one of mine."
Well, if you don't give him one, it will be yours. All right, bye.
Okay. And with that, yeah, you go out to the car, and the two mafiosi look a bit surprised to see this bundled figure clamber in the back. The guy who's now sitting in the back with you says, well, what's your story?
And I reveal my face a little bit. I'm like, you don't Jesus. Really want to know.
Give a guy some warning before you do that next time.
Well, I thought it would be more funny this way. All right, let's go see your boss.
What is that? Is that like burns or skin condition or something? What?
Yes, skin condition.
It's not catching, is it?
No. It's not. I was born with this.
He doesn't look very convinced by this.
Yeah, it's definitely not catching.
I grew up in a sewer, and I was the result of an experiment. No.
I was trained by a rat.
Yeah.
But with that, yeah, the car drives off, and the two men take you to about a half-hour drive through to Brooklyn and to a fairly unassuming-looking building, which in the warehouse district, where they go up and just knock on a door, give a password, and let you into what turns out to be a fairly busy-looking speakeasy. There's a bit of live music playing, but it's not really a club, or at least a nightclub. It's more of just a plain drinking establishment. And there are a lot of people sitting around who had the look of, yeah, people in that line of work. And, they certainly, as the group of you come in, it's not like every conversation in the place stops, but there are a lot of people looking at you.
Considerable cut in decibels. It's just.
But at the back, you see Philemoni Casali, who's sitting there at a table with a few other people from right at the back, stand up and say, "Charlie boy, hey, come over, have a drink."
I'm gonna turn to Ethan and go, "See, normally I'd kill him for calling me fucking Charlie boy, but I feel that I grew in Bingham. I'm a bigger person now. I've learned that mass genocide is not the way forward."
That is actually exactly on brand. All right, let's go have a chat. And remember, keep your gun in your pocket. We've probably been disarmed, to be honest.
I don't think I brought a gun.
I don't think I brought a gun either. Don't worry. And I pop one of my fangs out. Look, I've got this.
Oh, God.
Ethan, I'm only slowly coming round to this whole thing. Let's just, take it easy.
All right.
Puts my other hand in my pocket again. Although, Charles's injuries, he got some really substantial injuries in Oklahoma. Mm. He's probably not looking too good himself.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You had the shit kicked out.
I was also in a fist fight last night, so I've got about 10 HP. Just chucking that out there.
Just to put it out there, I haven't had 10 HP since bloody Bolivia. I have 2 HP.
Well, you've been back into the speakeasy.
No, you've been back for a day, so you'll have got another 2 as well. So you'll be on 4 HP now. See, your hit points have doubled.
Wow. You are a kind and benevolent keeper.
But yeah, your two new pals escort you over to Casali's table. And yeah, he's drinking a bottle of what looks like ersatz champagne. You probably don't want to ask too much about the provenance of it. And yeah, he offers to pour both of you glasses. And he says, who's your friend, Charlie?
The name's Ethan. Nice to meet you. And I put my snaky hand out.
He just looks at it and yeah. He says, yeah. Those are some fancy gloves you got there, pal.
Oh, only the finest. Crocodile skin.
He hesitantly shakes your hand. He says, it's taken a long time for us to get together, but look, we're all friends here, right? We're all friends. And yeah, as a friend, I think so. I wanted to make you a deal, Charlie. A deal. You know all that money you owe me? How about if I just write it all off?
Well, that would be mighty fine of you. I mean, it looks like you're doing pretty well for yourself. I mean, the only thing you could make this place swanky is that, you know, add some cucumber sandwiches. But what do you want? I mean, I know you're not writing this off for the goodness of your heart. I mean, to be fair, the money that I owe you isn't really owed to you, seeing as you've broke all the fucking shit that you borrowed off me. Confiscated is what you said, I think.
I gave it back as a gesture of goodwill. Broken? Not all of it.
Yeah, thanks for that.
But yeah, the business that I wanted to talk to you about. As I said last time we met, I know who you work for. I know you've been working for this Caduceus outfit. And let's just say that my friends are real interested in Caduceus right now. Real interested. Because Caduceus, it ain't what it pretends to be, is it?
You can say that again.
You know then.
I mean,
you know. You know what's going on down at the docks.
No, what's happening at the docks?
Just
all those shipments coming in from Africa.
Shipments from Africa.
Yeah.
One of these days, Ethan, me and you are going to play poker.
You know how I am, Charles. I see it. I call it like I see it. You know, I call a spade as a spade. Yeah. So the shipments from Africa. Well, what exactly are they shipping?
Just hang on, because it sounds like we might be able to have a mutual exchange of information. I'll be honest with you, because my friend here hasn't given me very much choice. I don't know too much about shipments for Africa, but you're right. There's some very odd things going on with Caduceus.
Yeah.
And maybe this is maybe this could work out. This could work out just fine.
And I think that might be a good place to leave this episode.